You know, a lot of times we think that it's the most down and sad people that commit suicide, and it's not. I mean, if you look at some of the celebrities that have committed suicide, like a Robin Williams, obviously we don't know what was going on in his own head. We obviously don't, but he was a comedian. He was really funny, made people laugh probably all the way up until the day he did what he did. And so it's not always external stereotypes that relate to internal issues. And so we want to be really careful and be really aware. We want to regularly be asking questions and understanding what people are actually going through, how they're really doing. Again, we have a tendency in society today already to ask somebody how you're doing, and it's just more of a basic greeting. We don't even really care to know the answer. And because the recipient knows that, their answer is, oh, well, I'm good. Oh, I'm busy. Oh, I'm whatever, right? Just one word, one statement answers. And that's dangerous because inside there could be something that somebody's really deeply struggling from, and we haven't taken time to understand that.
Welcome to Unlocking Greatness, the podcast where purpose fuels your journey to greatness. I'm your host, Ryan James Miller, and I'm here to guide you through the remarkable stories of purpose-driven achievers just like you. Whether you're building a business empire or strengthening your family, this is your space to learn, grow, and find fulfillment. With each episode, we dive into the lives of extraordinary individuals who align their values and beliefs with professional success. Get ready for inspiring conversations, practical wisdom, and the keys to unlock your own potential in life and business. Let's embark on this journey together to unleash your potential, live your calling, and achieve the greatness that you were created for.
All right. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Unlocking Greatness. Thanks, you guys, so much for joining me on this journey, for supporting this podcast, and for being here for another episode. So today, I want to dig right into manning up to mental health. And this is going to be for the dudes. This is for you guys that listen to this podcast on a regular basis. But ladies, before you check out, I want to encourage you to listen. Because you have a man in your life that is struggling with one of the things that I'm going to talk about today, I would almost certainly bank on it. I would almost certainly bank on the fact that your husband, that your boyfriend, that a close friend, maybe a brother, maybe your father, maybe a son is struggling from some aspect of mental health. And they don't know what to do, or they're doing the wrong things. And so this is going to be super helpful for you as you are just looking for symptoms and signs and helping them to the best of your ability to navigate through this journey. Okay, so this topic, I actually addressed this, a very similar topic about 7 or 8 episodes ago. So a couple of months, but it can never be talked about too much. You know, the battle that we all are dealing with as it relates to our own mental health is something that we need to keep talking about. I've said time and time again that, you know, there is a lot more talk that's being had about it, which I really, really appreciate. That talk is typically more around post-traumatic interaction and engagement, meaning after you've had a mental health episode, after, you know, something has happened, then people jump in to help you. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, that is absolutely wise. It's beneficial. We need more of those resources available to us. But I also want to talk about just some proactive solutions that are out there and available. And, you know, I've shared many, many times that this was not something that I personally experienced until 2019. I mean, maybe I did and wasn't aware, but it was really in April of 2019. I had an anxiety attack, curled up on a ball in the corner of my office, crying and just frozen, and didn't feel like I had any control over myself, and had to call my wife for prayer. And by God's grace, I was able to get through that. But once that happened, and then fast forward to September of 23, when I published my book, it's just become more and more prevalent in discussion that I'm having with other people, with high-performing professionals in the marketplace that are constantly striving to achieve as much as they possibly can. And with good intention and good desire, they're struggling a lot with their own mental health, with people at home and dealing with just the challenges of being in a marriage and raising a family, which those are beautiful things, but also not easy things. And so dealing with the struggles and challenges of mental health. Anyway, so the topic is just something that's so incredibly important. The reason why I want to address men specifically is because I think that more than ever, men are having difficulty dealing with these issues. I think that there is this poor narrative that dealing with mental health issues or the symptoms of them are signs of weakness. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that. Men more than ever are having less and less friends. And when they're having less and less good male friends, they're not talking about it as often. And then statistics today are showing that upwards of 75% of all suicides are by men. Meaning that there is an epidemic in this country, in this world, around men's health and well-being, and it's something that needs to be talked about and be addressed. And as you know, I've said this before, you know, I always want to be as vulnerable, as transparent as possible. I believe that God has given me a big heart and a big voice, and he's called me to use that when something is heavy on my heart, and this is definitely a topic that is heavy on my heart. Thankfully, I'm in a good spot right now, but it's not always the case. And this is a roller coaster. This is a battle that I face all the time. And I know many, many more people do. So what I want to do is I want to walk through some of the common struggles that men particularly are facing as it relates to their mental health. I want to talk about unhealthy coping mechanisms so you can look for signs either in yourself or in somebody else that's dealing with these challenges. I want to talk about transitioning to healthy coping mechanisms, because again, we can't necessarily make them go away, but we can definitely find better ways to deal with them. I want to talk about the benefits in our personal and professional lives to overcoming these challenges. So let's walk through that. Let's talk about some of those things. I say let's. I'm going to talk about those things. Hopefully, this is something that is important to you to listen to. I believe that it is, not just because it's coming from my mouth, but because I believe that it's an issue that more and more of my male friends, male colleagues are struggling with. And I just want you to know that you are seen, that you are heard, and there is a space for you to struggle, to get healthy, and ultimately live the life of joy that I believe you've been created to live. So let's talk about some of the struggles. So there are a handful of struggles that that people face as it relates to mental health. I'm going to speak though specifically about the ones that are showing up most often in men. And again, that doesn't mean that women aren't struggling with these things. I'm just talking to you guys more so today. So those six things that show up most often would be depression, and this is in no specific order, but those six things that men are struggling with as it relates to their own mental health are often depression, anxiety, stress, PTSD, self-doubt, and suicidal thoughts. And so there, those six things are typically the most common ones. There's a lot of other things out there. I heard something recently that said over the next two decades, body dysmorphia will be more prevalent in men than it will be in women. And that's a scary statistic, because while it's heartbreaking to know that that's something women have dealt with for decades and decades and decades, to now know that it's become so big in men means that we're going to have a serious problem there really soon. So there are some other ones out there, but these are the ones I want to talk about. Okay, so let's talk about, I want to talk more about the symptoms, because a lot of times when me included, like when I had my anxiety attack in 2019, I didn't know that's what it was. I'd never been diagnosed with any kind of condition. I also believe that there's an overdiagnosis sometimes, like we just want to get to a medical term as quickly as possible. So I don't necessarily want to go there, but I do want to say that you may be struggling from one of these things and not know it. And so I just want to talk about some of the symptoms of these issues. So as it relates to depression, when men are depressed, oftentimes that is seen or shown in irritability or aggression. Sometimes withdrawal too, which I'll talk a little bit more about as it relates to how men are coping with this. But typically when you start to see a lot of irritability, when you start to see a lot of anger, when you start to see a lot of aggression in men, oftentimes that is the result of depression. And so if you find yourself lashing out at other people, if you find yourself constantly over and frustrated with other people, there could be a possibility. Again, this is not a direct correlation, but there could be a good possibility that you are struggling from depression, and that's the way it's showing itself. Anxiety. Again, like anxious thoughts are something that at one time or another, probably most people deal with, but the way that we typically see anxiety is around hesitations. It's around, it oftentimes leads to higher stress, a feeling of fear, of doubt, of not being willing to step into the unknown, of not wanting to confront certain situations. So as an example, and this will connect to PTSD later, but on the back end of my Route 91 experience in Vegas, when I got back to work, and so 2 weeks I was out, that was wonderful to be able to spend some time. When I went back to work, you know, people were gracious and tiptoed around me for a little while. But then once reality kicked back in, we just went back to having to work and work hard and goals and challenges and obstacles. And I started to recognize that it was harder for me to engage in difficult conversations, to confront certain things, because it brought about this heightened level of anxiousness. And I really didn't know what that was. Again, that was 2017 and 18. I wouldn't understand the fact that I was dealing with some anxiety and PTSD until later. But that was something that I was noticing, was just this constant fear of wanting to engage in challenging or difficult situations or conversations. So that's how anxiety can show up oftentimes. Again, you know, it's rare that a guy's going to walk around and be like, oh yeah, I suffer from anxiety. What we're typically going to see is they're constantly questioning whether or not they should take the next step, whether or not there could be some self-doubt there and some other things, but it's this anxiousness around or fear of what may happen next as the result of what they've gone through in the past or what they're suffering with. Stress is obvious. Obviously, you know, on one hand, stress is kind of a badge of honor. We talk a lot about, oh, you know, it's just to succeed is stressful. You just have to deal with stress. And yes, there are some good benefits to stress on the body. It really, it forges us. It pushes us. It's a good detector of when we need to back off. So there's some good benefits to stress, but we often wear it as, oh, it's okay. I'm good at dealing with stress. It's like, that's not helpful for you. And so sometimes you'll admit it. Other times, again, like you just find yourself frustrated more often, irritable more often. This could be similar to some of the symptoms around depression that we see. But when you're stressed out, you can't sleep well. You wake up a lot in the middle of the night. Your mind is always racing. And so those are some of the symptoms of the fact that you may actually be suffering from stress, which is a challenge that you need to figure out the root cause of so you can overcome. I talked about PTSD. So I know this one, unfortunately, firsthand and all too well. But in general, this is not an ultimate statement, but in general, men suffer with PTSD more because they are more regularly exposed to violent incidents, to aggressive engagements. And that could be fights. That could be standing in the way of a situation. That could be being the first to step into a battle, or a first responder, or somebody in the military standing on the front line. There is nobility and honor to men going first, but because of that, oftentimes they can deal with some more PTSD. And again, that's not saying that ladies don't, because there are many traumatic events that people go through and have PTSD from, but it seems to show up a little bit more regularly in men. From all the information that I have gathered, the problem, and this is where it's actually much bigger. So when women experience trauma, their natural response is often to seek help, to be empathized with, to address the situation, whereas men have a tendency to be stoic. Men have a tendency to just be standoffish, to pretend like it wasn't that big of a deal. And I definitely think that there's a lot of events in society today in which we call traumatic that aren't. Jonathan Haidt, H-A-I-D-T, in his book, The Coddling of the American Mind, talks about this a lot, wherein the current generation that we're in, they're calling lots of things trauma that aren't traumatic. Like when somebody calls you a bad name, that's probably not real trauma, even though it may throw you off a bit. Anyway, I'll digress from that. But there's definitely things that we call trauma that are not traumatic. At the same time, there are a lot of things that are very traumatic and men kind of just numb themselves to. And that is incredibly dangerous. And suicidal thoughts. Again, I said earlier that men are committing suicide 3 to 1 to women. And that is scary. And there are a lot of reasons why that is the case. But one of the symptoms or the symptoms that you will see oftentimes of suicidal thoughts is, and I'll talk about this in the coping mechanisms, but you start to see men withdraw more. You start to see men distance themselves. You start to see men be more stoic to emotional and traumatic situations. The more that they are disconnected and disengaged with what's going on around them, the more concerning that it is that there may actually be something really wrong with them. I think one of the other things that's really scary, I watched a short video clip on mental health and suicide specifically not too long ago. I wish I could name it so I could reference it. Maybe I'll try and find it and put it into the show notes if I can. But, you know, a lot of times we think that it's the most down and sad people that commit suicide. And it's not. I mean, if you look at some of the celebrities that have committed suicide, like a Robin Williams, obviously, we don't know what was going on in his own head. We obviously don't. But he was a happy guy. He was a comedian. He was really funny, made people laugh probably all the way up until the day he did what he did. And so it's not always external stereotypes that relate to internal issues. And so we want to be really careful and be really aware. We want to regularly be asking questions and understanding what people are actually going through, how they're really doing. Again, we have a tendency in society today already to ask somebody how you're doing, and it's just more of a basic greeting. We don't even really care to know the answer. And because the recipient knows that, their answer is, oh, well, I'm good. Oh, I'm busy. Oh, I'm whatever, right? Just one word, one statement answers. And that's dangerous because inside there could be something that somebody's really deeply struggling from, and we haven't taken time to understand that. And before we know it, we're regretting not having asked that question because they're no longer here to ask it. So those six things. Oh, one more. Sorry, I left this one out and earlier, and I think this is important. I think a lot of men struggle with self-doubt. There is this. I don't know how to explain it, but men often seek status. They look around and they want to live up to or be equal to or better than the other men around them. But inside, there's a great struggle because they're constantly doubting whether or not they're actually good enough. And this is something that I've struggled with. As a matter of fact, every single one of these but the suicidal thoughts has been something that I've struggled with at one point, another, or multiple times in my life. Again, particularly over the last 5 years, 4.5 years, 5 years probably. So self-doubt can show itself in many, many ways. But if you're regularly hearing people, especially, so now the term that people are using a lot is imposter syndrome. I've talked about the fact that I don't like that term. I think it's too easily used to mask other truths that exist. I think that people don't actually think they're an imposter, like somebody that shouldn't be in a situation that is. I think they're afraid to be in the situation. Maybe they're unprepared. Maybe they're doubtful that they're able to deliver. And again, some of those things are defined when somebody says, oh yeah, how do you define imposter syndrome? But I think it's just too easy to say, I feel like an imposter. And like people are like, oh yeah, I get that. And it's like, no. I think there's some deeper issues that we should understand. Why do you doubt yourself? You know, what is it that you're actually struggling with? Why do you believe you shouldn't be here? So I think self-doubt is another one that men are struggling with mentally quite a bit. And again, all of these things are so scary to me for men because men have a much greater tendency just to push people away, just to be standoffish, just to withdraw. So those are the struggles that I often see as it relates to mental health and men. And I'm sure you guys, if you are listening to this, you can relate to one or more of those. I would guarantee every single one of you probably right now is struggling with one of those six things. I do want to pause right now and say that if you are struggling with any one of those things, especially suicidal thoughts, I want you to stop what you're doing and reach out to somebody close to you. Don't listen to this anymore. There's nothing that I'm going to say that's going to solve your problem. You need to go talk to somebody. You need to share with somebody what you're struggling with. If you feel like you do not have anybody, you can email me right now, ryan@ryanjamesmiller.com, and I will figure out a way to get on a phone with you as quickly as possible. Again, I don't have the answers, but I'm here to listen and to help do whatever I can to steer you in the right direction. Okay, unhealthy coping mechanisms. So this is another place. So I talked earlier about, you know, the struggles, those six struggles, and that there's a lot of symptoms related to those. But I think even more often what we see is we see unhealthy coping mechanisms existing. We see behaviors, actions, attitudes existing in men. And we can start to ask questions around whether or not they're using those things to mask something else. So there's six of those as well. I didn't mean to do that. That's just kind of what came up. So the first one is substance abuse. I think this one is really easy for guys to get involved in and to mask other problems that they're dealing with. This could be alcohol. This could be drugs. This is a little bit different, but it could be gambling, could be pornography. There's a lot of things that men can abuse to mask the problems, the pain, the struggles, the challenges that they're going through. So substance abuse is a big one. And I want to come right out and say that I think that there is a time and a place for you to drink alcohol. I don't think there's anything wrong with it per se. I think that it can be very dangerous for a lot of people, but I don't think there's anything wrong with it. But I will say this. If you find yourself consistently going home and having a drink to take the edge off of the day, you have a problem. I don't even know that you have an alcohol problem, but you have a masking problem, and we need to understand, you need to understand what the root cause of that problem is. If you're regularly drinking, even if it's just 1 2-ounce pour of whiskey every night or every couple of nights or a beer a night to take the edge off, you have to fix the day. And if you just say, no, that's just the nature of the beast, I've got a stressful job, you got to change that up. Because that is not healthy and you can't sustain that. That will kill you from the inside out. Two, social withdrawal. I talked about this a little bit when I was talking about some of the struggles. This one is very, very prevalent in men. So I was looking at a statistic not too long ago that said that, I think it was 10 years ago, maybe it was 20 years ago, men had on average, I think it was 5 to 6 close friends. Now, most men say they average 1. Now you may be saying to yourself, well, gosh, at least they have 1. But to average 1 means that a large number of men answered 0. 0. It has become easier and easier for men to seclude themselves, to withdraw. And what's so dangerous about this one, or so scary about this one, is men can have a lot of friends and still be very withdrawn. What do I mean by that? Men have a tendency to get together, to hang out, to shoot the shit, to talk about sports and work and whatever, but don't dig into the root cause or the deep challenges. Men aren't willing to talk about their struggles with other guy friends, or at least they don't do that preemptively. And because they don't do that preemptively, then they don't preempt those conversations when they're sitting down with somebody else. Sometimes because they don't even know how to ask a question, other times because they don't want to have to answer it themselves. So we see a lot of social withdrawal, even when guys have a lot of other guys around them. Most men have surface level relationships with other guys, and that is not a good sign. That is one thing that I have a really close group of men that I have been friends with, a couple of them my entire life, one specifically my entire life. And you know how awkward it is for me to sit down with them sometimes and open up about those deep struggles? And some of them never offer them up. Like, I don't know what their mental states are. And that's just as bad on me as it is on them. And yet I've got circles of men that I haven't known nearly as long that I go super deep with. My men's group at church, my mastermind group, there's 4 other guys in that. And so it's like, why some places and not others? I think it's because we get so comfortable in certain environments that we would rather not disrupt them with those ugly things. Whether it's we don't want to be seen as weak, we don't want to disrupt the situation, we don't know how to open up that type of conversation. But anyway, social withdrawal is big. 3, another unhealthy coping mechanism is overwork. A lot of times what we'll see is when men cannot deal, when men are struggling with an aspect of their mental health, when they're struggling with relational issues, they just have a tendency to gravitate towards more work. Because when they work, they can see progress typically. And when they can see progress, that makes them feel validated, like they're getting something done, even though the rest of their life is falling apart. And so it's very dangerous to just continue to immerse yourself in work. The more you work, the worse you're making your mental health. That's not to say if you work a lot, you're going to have poor mental health. What I'm saying is if you're struggling with mental health issues and you're using work as a band-aid, you are going to create a far greater wound and you're eventually going to burst. And that's not going to be pretty. So overwork. 4 is a denial and or suppression of the fact that you actually have an issue. A lot of men will not admit to being emotional. A lot of men will not admit to being weak. A lot of men will not admit to not being able to handle certain things. And it is such a danger. Even the title of this podcast is Manning Up to Mental Health. That whole idea of manning up can be taken really poorly, can be used really poorly. Oh, you're having an off day. You're sad. Man up. Quit being such a sissy. Now, maybe some guy needs to be told that from time to time. But if you're really struggling, the last thing that you need to hear or believe you need to do is to man up. As a matter of fact, manning up means confronting the issue, not being so weak as to continue to run from it. So don't deny it. Admit it. Work through it. That's what real men do. 5, aggression, being overly risky. When men are struggling with mental health, I talked about this a little bit earlier, some of the symptoms of depression and even PTSD, but stress, anxiety, actually probably all of them, is you start to see men become far more aggressive and they feel like that's okay. I just need to take it out on something. And I get it. I get getting into the gym and getting after a workout, punishing your body a little bit. That can sometimes just kind of flush out all the garbage that's in there. But if you find yourself having to go into the gym every single day to take out the aggression of the day, of the week, of the month, of the year, of the season that you're in, you are chasing something that you will never catch. When it comes to our mental health, we need to address the root cause of the issue. We cannot fix it externally. And yet, for most men, they try to fix it externally, if at all. And lastly, oftentimes when men are struggling with mental health issues, they start to engage in unhealthy behaviors. They stop taking care of themselves. They maybe aren't in the gym as much as they used to be. They're eating like garbage. Again, they're over-consuming alcohol. All these things, they're not sleeping well. And it's like, that's okay. I can't sleep because I got to work more. It's okay that I wake up in the middle of the night. I got to get back to what I'm doing. I got to focus on this. It's like, you're never going to make up for the struggles that you have. You've got to address them. If you want to be amazing, if you want to be excellent, if you want to succeed as a husband, as a father, as a professional, you must address these mental health issues. They're never going to go there. No, I don't want to say that. There's a high likelihood that you're going to be dealing with one or more mental health issues for the rest of your life. It's just the way life is. But that doesn't mean we don't address them and deal with them and try and grow from them and grow through them and improve them. And if you want to succeed, you got to get after them. So those are some of the unhealthy things that we see as it relates to how men cope specifically with the challenges of mental health. Now I want to just transition into some healthy coping mechanisms, because I think there is some wisdom here that we can all gain from this. And this was just a collection of me asking questions, going out to the internet, doing so many other things. And I came up with this list that I think is just super wise. Also, let's see here. All of these things I have engaged in myself and am continually engaged in many of them because they are better for my mental health. So it's not like I'm telling you to do something that's not working for me. Like, these things are working. And the first one is to seek professional help. This could mean a therapist. I want to say that you've probably heard me say this before. I'm always hesitant to therapy because most therapy is a business and it's not a solution. What I mean by that is most therapists, they build a practice on continuing to treat you, and they never completely solve your problem. You got to find a great therapist. And so make sure if you do search out a therapist that you've got great recommendations and referrals, not from somebody that's seeing somebody for years, but somebody that's actually walked through a challenge with them. As a matter of fact, this is something that's super cool. It's actually a female, but I just want to give this example. So my oldest daughter, and I'm sure she'll be fine with me saying this, was struggling with mental health quite a bit from 2019, 2020, all the way through until about a year ago. And it was just getting really bad. And we as parents tried to help her the best we could, but she just needed something external. We went to somebody at church that was a professional therapist. She owns a practice. She set my daughter up with an amazing therapist. And after, I think they've been probably working together for about 9 months, the therapist came to my daughter this last week, approached my daughter at the end of the session last week and said, "You know what? I don't think you need me anymore. You've made incredible progress. You are in a far better place that you've been. Even with the challenges you're facing right now, you've handled them in an incredible way." She said, "We're good. If something ever comes up and you need me again, I'll be here for you, but you don't need me anymore." That's the type of therapist you're after, is one that truly wants to help you, but doesn't want to continue to have to help you for the rest of your life if you don't need it. Beyond therapy, coaching can work incredibly well. This is what I've engaged a lot with. So I've had quite a few different coaches over the last 10 years of my life for different areas of my life. Also being in professional masterminds where I'm paying to be a part of something, those have been incredibly beneficial to me. That really relates to the next one. So beyond professional help, I would say seek great support networks. That's my mastermind as well. We've started a community called the Founders Collective for male entrepreneurs and founders. That's another space that, you know, like I believe in is things creating a positive environment of like-minded men that can come together and share in the struggles and seek out success together. But I also have my men's group. I've been in a men's group with pretty much the same group of guys. A few have come in, a few have gone out, but there's about 25 of us that range in age from 14 or 15 up to like 80 something. And we've been journeying together for the better part of 4 years, and they've been an incredible support. I'm extremely transparent with them about where I'm at in my life, what I'm struggling with, what's going well, what I need help with. They've been incredible. And it's a very transparent and vulnerable community. And I just cannot thank God enough for that community and what that's done for me. So support networks are incredibly important. You know, you can have friends of varying degrees for sure, but I encourage you to find a tight group of friends or a friend that you can talk about with stuff like this, that you can feel comfortable and trust. And not just that you share, but they share too. Another thing that you can do is prayer, mindfulness, meditation. I've been listening to, I'll put this one down in the show notes, but I've been using the Pause app by John Eldridge. It's P-A-U-S-E. It's an app that gives you 1, 3, 5, or 10 minute pauses, meditations on the Word of God and worship of God, that you can set up multiple times a day. It'll send you a notification. You can listen through these things. Additionally, I've been going through for the last 30 days, actually 27 days, I think, inside the Pause app, there's this 30 Days to Resilience program, and it's a morning time and a nighttime prayer and meditation, and it's been so powerful for me. So that's incredible. I read a book a couple of years ago by Ryan Holiday called Stillness is the Key. I'll drop that in the show notes as well. That was an incredible book on helping somebody like me who is always go, 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 figuring out ways to incorporate stillness, slowing down into my day-to-day rhythms. It has been so incredibly beneficial that I've been able to do that. One of the other ways I do that, not just it helps my physical health too, but is I've been taking a morning walk. That's actually when I've been usually listening to my morning 30 Days to Resilience program. But I've been taking a mile walk outside almost every day, a weekday, for 3 or 4 weeks now. And it's been fantastic. Just quiet time. That Pause app normally takes about 10 to 12 minutes. The total walk takes me 20 or so. And so then typically I'll just, with whatever time I left, I have left, I'll keep my AirPods in, but they're on silent, or they've muted everything else out. And so it's pretty quiet in my head. And I just think on and pray on what's going on in my life. And it's been so, so helpful to be able to do. So I would encourage you to pray, to practice mindfulness and meditation. Another great healthy coping mechanism is paying attention to your physical health. Get in the gym and get after it. Go out for a run, hop on the bike, walk. Being outside and active, being engaged in a community with other active people like I am with CrossFit, it is so incredibly beneficial to your mental health. And by the way, the more focused you are on your physical health, the more you are going to turn from unhealthy coping mechanisms. Like, I don't want to drink. I don't want to eat garbage. I don't want to not take care. Like, I want to sleep well. I want to do all these things because they're beneficial to my mental health and my physical health, which then also benefits my mental health. So I would just say that the more you focus on your physical health, which is a good way to cope with the mental health struggles, the more it's going to help the mental health struggles. So it's a win-win on both sides of the equation. I would say look for new hobbies. You know, look for things that are going to make you happy. Go fish. Not the card game, maybe the card game, but take up fishing, golf, as long as you don't get frustrated out on the course, go shooting, paint, Play music, like whatever. Find something that brings you joy that you can focus your mind and attention on that will start to build up positivity inside yourself so you can start to heal from that negativity that's there. And by the way, all of these things, I should say, and I've got two more, but for all of these healthy coping mechanisms, remember, this is not just to treat what has already happened to you or what you're dealing with. It's to ward off and prevent you falling deeper into other struggles, right? The more positive, the healthier, the better off that I am, the better guardrails I have up, the lower the chance of me being subjected to further mental health struggles. And then finally, set good goals. And you may say to yourself, Ryan, what does goals have anything to do with mental health? Well, oftentimes, because we're setting ridiculous goals, goals typically that are too big or just out of reach or out of whack, that throws our mental health off so much. It causes us to be stressed out. It causes us to be anxious, causes us to be depressed when we're missing them. It then causes us to self-medicate. Causes us to take risks. Like there are so many things that are negatively associated with setting the wrong types of goals. So I've talked about this before. I'll share it again just briefly. I love living by the ALIGNED acronym for setting goals. And you can look down in the show notes. I'll share a link to that so you can look a little bit more into what that means. Similar to SMART goals, but I think ALIGNED goals are a little bit better. I like the acronym a little bit more. So set the right type of goals. Set achievable and attainable goals. Stretch yourself for sure. Get after it, but be realistic, because when you're setting goals that you constantly miss, it's really bad on your mental health. So as we land the plane here, I just want to say this. This is not just about being more mentally healthy, though I think that's the most important thing. In regards to this topic is being more mentally healthy. It's to heal from and overcome the mental health the challenges of your past that are weighing on your mental health. And it's also to ward off the ones that are coming in the future, because there's a great chance that they're coming. But it's not just that. It's also that by being more mentally healthy, you gain great benefit in a few key areas. As a business professional, when you are more mentally strong, when you are more mentally fit and healthy, you have a much greater chance of achieving the success you dream of and desire. You're going to make better decisions. You're going to be more strategic. You're going to be a lot more clear as you take risks, because you're going to have to take risks, but you need clarity in the risks that you're going to take. As a husband, your marriage is going to be in a far better place if you are more mentally healthy. You will communicate better with your wife. You'll find more joy in the times that you spend with your wife. You'll be able to much more easily diffuse stressful situations and maybe even argumentative ones when you're more mentally healthy. That will lead to so many greater benefits. Your wife will enjoy being around you more. You will likely have more sex with your wife as the result of that. I mean, this is a win-win-win all the way around. That one alone. You want to have more sex with your wife? Be more mentally healthy. It's usually a direct correlation, because you're just feeling better about yourself. You're just handling situations far better. So I just believe that being mentally healthy is of huge benefit to your role as a husband. As a father, I mean, good Lord, how often do you have a short fuse with your kids that have nothing at all to do with your kids? Even when they mess up, like, why do you have to take it out on them because you had a bad day, a bad week, bad month, bad year? Our poor mental health weighs heavily on our kids. Not only can they see it in us, but a lot of times they can feel it in our words and our actions, and they don't deserve that. And I know you don't want to do that. And so if you'd like to be a better father, if you want to be more engaged in not just in the relationship you have, but in leading them well, in raising them well, work on your own mental health. And finally, as a friend, a great friend is one that's transparent about their mental health, good and bad. A great friend is one that is of sound mind and of sound body and is able to be empathetic to and pour into and encouraging and supportive of and accountable to and hold accountable the friends that you're friends with. Why do you want surface level relationships? You should want real, meaningful, and deep ones. And those only happen, or those, the best chance of those happening are when you are in a good space mentally. I think I've made a case that there are some serious issues that we men are facing as it relates to our mental health. We've got many struggles. We've got plenty of ways in which we're dealing with them in an unhealthy manner. But there are healthy ways that we can deal with the mental health struggles that we have and that we will encounter. And there are great benefits to us overcoming those things. But it's a choice that you have to make. I can't make it for you, but I can be here to support you. If there's anything at all that I can do for you as it relates to this, again, ryan@ryanjamesmiller.com. If you're seeing a clip on social, feel free to DM me, and I would be happy to do what I can to support you. We've got communities, supportive, incredible communities. I talked earlier about the Founders Collective. It's an incredible supportive community for male founders and entrepreneurs. I think that that is going to be a staple of community to engage in positive mental health practices and helping people to overcome the current negative ones that they deal with. So engage, 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 ask for help, be a man about this and hit it head on. Quit running from it, quit hiding it, quit masking it. I believe that you can do better. Thank you guys so much. This is not always an easy topic to talk about, but it's one that I will continue to talk about because I believe so, so much in this topic. Interestingly enough, and this is how I'm going to land this, or this is how I'm going to sign off. This is my second time recording this podcast episode. If you were following along on, if you follow me on Instagram, @TheRyanJamesMiller, @TheRyanJamesMiller on Instagram, go follow me there if you would like. But I shared a story because I recorded this episode 2 days ago. I realized after finishing up the recording, uploading it 39 minutes that time, actually went longer this time. I don't know how, but 39 minutes or so of recording. And I realized after I uploaded it that I got 39 minutes of video and no audio because I had the wrong microphone selected and it wasn't turned on. Talk about a way to unravel my mental health. But by God's grace, I shook it off. I laughed it off. I went out and played a great, fun round of golf yesterday. Not necessarily great, but fun round of golf yesterday with my buddies. Hopped into the office today to record this episode because I'm not going to let something like that get in the way of me continuing to be vulnerable about the struggles that I have, but also encouraging you to be vulnerable with the struggles that you have so together we can overcome them. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Unlocking Greatness. Like this, share this. Please, 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 I want to continue to get the word out as often as I can. Thank you. Love you guys. Appreciate you so much. Talk to you again soon.
Thank you for joining us on Unlocking Greatness. I am confident that today's stories and insights are steps on your path to personal and professional excellence. I'm pumped to share our next episode with you, but until then, keep nurturing your soul, challenging your limits, and unlocking the greatness you were created for.